As I mentioned previously, my definition of trading is buying an asset with a plan of holding it for less than 1 year. So today we will talk about momentum trading on lower time frames. Welcome to Learn to Invest, a podcast by Money Master with me, your host, Robert. Let's get started. Hi, Scott. Welcome back. How's it going?
Hello, hello. It's going pretty good. How about yourself, Robert?
Not too bad, not too bad. As I told you in our previous talk, our dog died today, but let's forget about that. Let's talk a little bit more about different stuff. Otherwise, I would get a little bit depressed. So let's move on from there. All right. So the time frame that a trader operates from has a huge influence on his trading methodology and a trading process. So first of all, let me tell you what different types of momentum trading exist. There's position trading, which is with a holding period of months to years. Trend following, the holding period is weeks to months. Swing trading, holding period is days to weeks. And day trading, hours to 1 day, but definitely not holding overnight. Then there's scalping, which is seconds to minutes. And high frequency trading, where you're holding an asset for seconds or even fractions of a second. So, Scott, what do you think? How could the trading process differ from a very short holding period to a very long holding period? Yeah, as I said, the process, the methodology very much varies from holding period to holding period. Do you have any idea what that actually means?
Sounds more stressful. The shorter the time frame sounds more. I guess they could both have carry their own level of stress, but I think
why is
if
it
it's
more stressful?
Seconds, you have to have. I don't know. I guess you have to act in a particular second while you're watching, and it's you're in the middle of the game or whatever. You have to click your mouse very quick or whatever's going on there, perhaps.
So if we're talking about high frequency trading, where I said the holding period is seconds to even a fraction of a second, do you think that it's possible to move your mouse that quickly?
Maybe not. It has to be automated in some kind of way, right?
Exactly. Exactly. It's automated. So that's one difference. And the shorter the time frame, the more automation needs to be included. Yeah, it is included in reality. Anything else that might be a difference? Let me give you a hint, go on. Go on.
I was just going to say it has to be like the volatility of what you're like focused on, like the which part of the market. And I'm just thinking of some of the things you said in the past. So maybe small cap or something like this might be more attractive when you're looking at shorter like trading within seconds, but long term maybe more like index or more large cap type stocks. I'm just thinking, perhaps.
Yeah, interesting. It could be because the very volatile small caps, maybe they rise quickly, but then they fall down quickly. So maybe holding for a longer period might be difficult. Okay, that's a good idea. When you're holding for a very long time, let's say talking about position trading, where you're holding for months to even years, fundamentals play a bigger role. So fundamentals meaning things like earnings and sales growth and these kind of things. And therefore, you need to be able to analyze the company, the business reports, and so on. So therefore, it almost goes into the direction of investing. Yeah, when I told you previously that investing, my definition of investing is holding for longer than 1 year, definitely for many years, maybe. So in that case, analyzing the company plays a big role. But even if you're still doing trading, but on a longer time frame, you need to pay more attention to the company itself and less to the not only to the price chart. So the fundamentals and analytical skills play a bigger role. Some other things are, for example, the position sizing and risk. Yeah. So when you're holding only intraday, not overnight, you might be willing to have a larger risk and a larger position size. But when you're holding overnight, kind of things happen overnight. The stock gaps down overnight and gaps, and doesn't hit your sell stop. So therefore, there's a risk related to that, and you want to choose a smaller position size. Then also, of course, the chart layout. Yeah, when you're using a charting software, and you're doing, for example, day trading, yeah, it does make sense that you're using a weekly chart, for example. Weekly charts, chart meaning that on your chart there's some candlesticks, and one candle represents a week in that case. But if you're trading intraday, yeah, it doesn't make sense to use weekly candles. You will use maybe a minute, 1 minute chart or 5 minute charts or these kind of things. And other things are, for example, the importance of the winning rate. When you have a shorter time frame, the winning rate needs to be very high. But if you have a longer time frame, the winning rate can be low and still you're going to be very profitable, because you might have many small losses, but the winning trades, you are going to let them run for a long time and they become a very huge winner, and therefore they compensate for many small losses. Last thing I have here on my list is basically something you already mentioned, which is the time you have to invest into your trading activities. You said that maybe if you're on a very short time frame, it's very stressful, you said. I said, yeah, maybe you can use automation, but still, let's talk about day trading, for example. The classical day trader will be staring at the screen throughout the whole day for hours, whereas maybe the swing trader or trend follower, position trader, they might look into the screen or on their chart every day, but not throughout the whole day. So the time invested is lower in that case. Okay, let's move on. We were already talking about the topic of automation. And so this brings me to another thing to discuss, which is algo trading versus discretionary trading. Yeah, algo trading, of course, means that you're using some kind of code, some programmed algo. And discretionary means that you're actually a real human being deciding in every moment what to do. And Scott, question to you. What do you think, what works better? We're already saying that maybe for on the shorter time frames, automation needs to be included. But you could even, if let's say you are a swing trader, for example, who plans to hold something, a stock for maybe a couple of days to weeks, you could still use some kind of algo to automate your trading. Do you have any ideas what the advantages and disadvantages of algo trading versus discretionary trading is? What do you think, what might be working better?
Well, the algo trading sounds like it would be a safer bet overall. I mean, it seems like it would be more consistent. Discretionary, I would imagine you could, if you know what you're doing, your return could be higher than algo. I'm just guessing here because there's something there because of this the discretionary aspect that the system would not be able to see. You need a real person to interpret that. That's what I would think.
So human beings are making mistakes, and
More
therefore
often, yeah.
maybe more often, and therefore maybe some kind of software, some technology is more reliable. That's what you say. And I
I
think
think so,
there's a lot
yeah.
of, yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. But of course, the algo is less flexible. Maybe the human being might discover something which changes, the analysis, and then changes also the procedure. Also, you need to be able to code. Yeah, not everybody is a programmer, it's a developer. And but on the other hand, maybe automated trading saves some time. Yeah, it's again automated, so it doesn't need a human to put his time into the activities. Yeah, so there's some advantages and disadvantages. And again, the longer the holding period, the more room there is for a human to have some kind of edge. So I would say that if you're not really a scalper or a high frequency trader, if you're maybe a day trader or swing trader, trend follower, position trader, probably still a very skilled trader as a human being will have superior results compared to a pure algo trader. Yeah, of course, there are many algo traders. They are profitable in many cases. But if you really compare it to the Champions League of the traders, yeah, the discretionary traders, they are still superior in terms of results. Yeah, let's see how it's going to be in the future, but that's the case up to now. Yeah, so again, we are talking about momentum trading. We discussed the topic of momentum. We explained what momentum is in previous episodes. And we also explained why I think momentum is very important and needs to be included in trading activities. Again, there are two main pillars of my trading activities. One is momentum. The other one is market structure. And we're talking a lot about stocks, yeah, trading stocks. But actually, momentum trading can be applied to all financial instruments. Yeah, not only to stocks, but also to crypto coins, stock option, bonds, currencies, for example. So this is universal, yeah, because basically is based on the human psyche and the laws of demand and offering and demand of those financial instruments, and therefore momentum trading is very universal, and you can apply these active momentum trading strategies even to ETFs. Yeah, so many people, when they talk about ETFs, they think, oh, this is about passive investing, not really having some active decisions to make. But that's not true. You can be very active trader, momentum trader, and still trade with ETFs. And with ETFs, of course, you don't have to do like stock picking single individual stocks. There's a broad amount of stocks also already included in that ETF. And you could, for example, also trade it on a weekly chart instead of a daily chart, for example. And as you can imagine, when you have a strategy with less components, it makes the strategy more simple. Just like a puzzle, for example, when a puzzle has many pieces, it's much more difficult than compared to a puzzle with less pieces. So, for example, if you trade with an ETF on a weekly chart, it makes it easier, makes it less time consuming. And that's why this is also something which I'm much in favor of. It's not the only type of trading I do, but it's one type of method that I use as well. Yeah, I use a mixture of, on the one hand, very long-term momentum investing, then semi-active trading with ETFs on a weekly chart, as I just explained, but also very active swing trading and trend following with single stocks on a daily chart. Yeah, I'm not so much a day trader. Sometimes I have some day trading elements in it. But again, I don't consider myself to be a day trader. Yeah, and by the way, I'm also planning on launching a podcast series that is dedicated purely to momentum trading. This will happen very soon, and you will also get an announcement here on this podcast when it's starting. All right, so thank you. And a short reminder, I've written an ebook with the title Natural Laws of the Stock Market. The ebook is showing you 18 of the inherent characteristics of the stock market. You need to be aware of these natural laws if you want to successfully build wealth on the stock market. You can now download the ebook completely for free on the following website, www.money-masters.com/ebook. Scott, one last thing. You are a big Star Wars fan, is that right?
That is right.
Very good. So instead of may the force be with you, let me end this episode as always with may the momentum be with you. See you next time. Bye-bye.